Number 9, I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say, say to my slaves, do this, they will do it. All right? Verse 10, when Jesus heard this, this is awesome right here. When he heard this, excuse me, I'm going through puberty up here. When he heard this, he was amazed. Now, it takes a lot to amaze God. It takes a lot to amaze Jesus. Jesus heard this man's response, and it amazed him. Turning to those who follow him, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast of the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown out into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus turns his attention back. He says, Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home. This is huge. Because you have believed, it has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. When Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was sick and in bed with a high fever. But when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. Then she got up and prepared a meal for him. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and he healed all the sick. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, he took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. Now, before I go any further, I want you to notice how many different ways the healing power of God manifested in these scriptures. Now, we just read, it's about 12 verses here. We got Jesus' response was, I'll come and heal him. But then he literally spoke the word, laid hands on somebody, said a command, and lived out a prophecy, all containing the healing power of God in those 12 verses. All right? The first thing I want to say to you today is this. Jesus never wouldn't heal somebody. If you're taking notes on the note sheet today, that's your first blank. Jesus never wouldn't heal someone. What is his will concerning what he wanted for everyone is found in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 7. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. That's what his will is. Every time. There is nowhere in the earthly ministry of Jesus, one time, the 33 years that he lived here, there is not one time where somebody came for him for healing and he went, nope, sorry, you need to learn your lesson. I know you're suffering, but you deserve this. There's not one time where he refused. It's kind of like God's auto response. What's an auto response? You ever texted somebody and you get that auto response back that says, I'm driving right now? And Pastor Terry's not here today because Matt's father passed away. But if you've ever texted Terry, Terry turns that on all the time. And as soon as you text, it comes back up. I'm driving and I can't talk right now. And you can set those auto responses to be anything. This is kind of like God's auto response. Whenever you say, I need to be healed, God's automatic response says, okay, I'll come and heal you. Always. It is always his response. And guys, I don't know what's going on with these lights, but they're on some kind of voice command. And every time I talk, these change. So I don't know if we need to switch that to Brent or just turn them off. But every time I talk, I'm getting distracted. I can't imagine what you all are seeing. Okay. If there is a response that can come from God, it's always verse number 7. All right? Number 2, it is faith that limits or increases how much God can respond. It's faith that increases or limits how much he can respond. If his response is, I will come and heal you, what happens if you walk out and you're still not healed? Because everybody wants to go, well, I guess God didn't want to heal me. All right? Look at what this guy says, verse number 8. The officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my house. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. What is that? That is him saying, you don't need to come lay hands on him. I know you have the authority to speak it and it'll happen. I believe that. Okay? Then he explains why. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go, or come and they come. What's he saying? If you say he's healed, he's healed. All right? If I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. Then, and when Jesus heard this, this amazed Jesus, because people most of the time don't think that way. They think God has to do it, and then I'll believe it. And everybody, and this is where the old saying comes from. I'll believe when I see it. Okay. Jesus even says, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Jesus wanted to come and heal the servant, but the centurion's faith actually increased the power of God right then to the point where Jesus didn't have to go and lay hands on him and he could just speak the word. Why is that? Because your faith is a conduit for the power of God to manifest. If you have a little bit of faith, it might take a little more something else to get it to you. But if you'll increase your faith, man, a simple word being spoken, it gives God's God gives God more room to move. I mean, think about that. At that time, they would have had to gone to Jesus and have him. That's why the multitudes followed him around, because he had to touch him. That's why he said, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Everybody has to come to me to touch me, and that's great. That's faith in who I am. But this guy's not even a Jew, and he believes even more than they do, and so my power is now freer to work in the life of a non-Jew who's holding my people in captivity, who's the villain of the story. Come on now. His faith is so great in me, my power can actually do more for him than it can these folks. Jesus is limitless in his power, but how much will invade your body to heal you is governed by only how much you can believe. Mark chapter 6, verse number 5 says, now let me set this up for you. Mark chapter 6, verse number 5, Jesus went to his hometown, and when he got there, they were all like, and they couldn't believe that this guy had these crowds following him around, and they're like, this is the guy that just like 3 years ago was like building tables. Okay. And they didn't believe in him. Now check this out. You'd think, well, he's Jesus. He could have just floated around and done whatever he wanted to do. I mean, nothing can stop Jesus, right? Verse number 5. And because of their unbelief, this next two words are huge. He couldn't. Not that he wouldn't. That big C there says it all. He couldn't do any miracles among them except place his hands on a few sick folk. Now, if you actually go and study that word sick, that's not just a general term. That means somebody that's got like a cold or the sniffles or a very minor sickness. Laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he was amazed. Here he is amazed again. At what? Their unbelief. Listen, the power of God is always available to heal. He always wants to heal you. He always wants to. It's only our faith that governs it. All right? Last thing I want to say is this, and then we'll get to the good stuff. Healing is available to everybody. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 12. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom of heaven was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What was he saying right here? The blessing that comes from Christians obeying the Great Commission are not just for the benefits of other Christians. It's available to everybody. Now listen, I grew up in the church where everybody wanted to pray for everybody else because it's easy to pray for another Christian. But this is available for everybody that you work with. Come on, everybody that's lost out there in the world, that is the worst of humanity, that people go, listen, you get them healed and you'll get their attention. All right? The people that, oh man, that guy's a jerk. Get him healed, watch him change. This is supposed to be a sign, all right? It is available to all, all right? He isn't reserving the blessing just for a select few. He wants to show himself to everyone how much he really loves them. It is available to anyone. It is available to everyone that we as Christians must believe in order to receive it, but also believe in order to administer it. If I believe God will heal me when the pastor touches me, great. But you got to believe the same thing when you touch somebody. You have to believe. Now that doesn't mean you should be running around the, you know, mall trying to be Benny Hinn and just knock people down everywhere. But I mean, if you see somebody sick, that is an opportunity for you to witness. And it doesn't have to be weird, and it doesn't have to be, you know, I don't know whether you believe in Jesus or not, you know, but you know Jesus loves you. It doesn't have to be awkward. It can be as simple as, you care if I pray for you real quick? Lord, just honor your word and heal him right now in Jesus' name. Boom, over, done. Why? It's available to everybody. But now here's the thing. If you don't believe when you do that anything will happen, they're going to walk away, nothing happening. Why? Because they may or may not be a believer. If they're not a believer and you don't believe anything's going to happen, nothing's going to happen. All right? Now, if you don't believe something's going to happen, but they do, they'll still get it. I walked by a guy one time in a restaurant just like that. Saw him in a restaurant, knew him, said hey, and we'd had a camp meeting service, and I'd done the morning service. What we used to do is I would do the evening service and then MC the morning service, and then my buddy would do the evening service that day, and then he would MC, and we would rotate like that. And so I had MC'd the morning service, and I went to lunch afterwards, and I walked by somebody at a restaurant. We were out eating afterwards, and I walked by like this, and it was one of the out-of-town youth groups had come, and I walked by, and I just saw this pastor sitting there, and I patted him on the shoulder, and I was like, man, I'm so glad you guys are here. God bless you. And that's all I said, and walked away. And he came up to me that night. He said, man, my shoulder's been bothering me forever. He said, ever since you laid hands on... I said, I didn't lay hands on you. He said, at the restaurant you did. And I was like, what? He said, my shoulder is... And he was up doing this. Now, he's an associate pastor down in Naples now. And I was like, that's so crazy. All I said was, God bless you. He said, but I believe in the anointing that's on you, and I believe that God wants me healed, and you laid hands on me. And I was like, well, wow. See, if somebody has faith, they'll get it. Okay? It's up to the Christian to believe when ministering to a non-believer. If you go and pray for somebody out there and they're not a believer, you're going to have to believe that God's manifesting through you. Let me tell you a story. There's a famous evangelist that I actually threw him in the video there. There's no known video footage of Smith Wigglesworth except silent movie type stuff. Now, they say that there could be recordings hidden in the archives at Angelus Temple in Los Angeles, but it got flooded and there's no labels on them, and it's that old reel-to-reel stuff, and they're afraid to even touch it because it'll break. So they don't know if they have it or not. But Smith Wigglesworth was standing on a boat with his daughter, and they were going on a cruise, and they were doing the life jacket test. You know, anybody ever been on a cruise where you stand out, everybody stands with their life jacket on, you just look like an idiot standing out there? They go, now here's where you come. If anything happens, you come stand right here with your life jacket on. You're like, and so they were standing out there doing the life jacket test, and all of a sudden this man keeled over. And everybody's gathered around him, and Smith's on vacation. And they couldn't get the man he's dying. And he walks over and pushes people aside and demands that they get out of his way. And he kneels down and prays. And the prayer that's in the book says that he rebuked the devil and commanded death to take his hands off of him. Now, can you imagine doing this in front of a bunch of unbelievers? Especially in the 30s or the 20s. This would have scared people like crazy. But he didn't care. He believed. Okay. So he believed. And so suddenly the man sat up and was fine. No ill effects, no nothing. And so somebody asked him, how did you know to do that? And he goes, it's what the word tells us to do. He goes, well, did you feel something before you did that? Now, he's dealing with an unbeliever that was lame. Did you feel something before you did that? He said, nope, I didn't feel anything. Now, this part right here is the part that I want you to get. He said, if I have to feel something before I step out and do what the Holy Ghost tells me, I miss what being filled with the Spirit is all about. All I got to do is believe it. So if you're going to go and administer this to somebody else, that's fine. Here's where the key is. You're not the healer. When I go lay hands on somebody, the responsibility ends there. I did my part. I'm done. Whose responsibility lay on now? Him. I have to believe it's on him. I have to believe his power's in operation. I have to believe that. But that's it. I don't have to do anything else. So when I go and lay hands on you this morning, if you come down here, then I'm going to do my part. I'm going to believe. Now, if you're all believers, you got to believe you receive. And then when we walk out that door, you are no longer the same. Amen? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Lord, we thank you.